Chapter 23, Psalms chapter 23. We have a few more messages out of Psalms 23. If you weren't here before the missions conference, we've been looking at this a little bit. And I was going to try to do all of verse number 5 tonight, but I only think we're going to worry about one phrase, and that's found now. Prepare us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So I really enjoy missions conference. One of the things I miss, though, is getting the opportunity to preach. And I know I've been thinking about this verse and also verse number 6, what we're going to look at on Sunday morning, quite a bit in the last 10 days. And hopefully it shows up in the preaching and teaching of the word tonight. But that's just a great phrase. And we're going to go ahead and read the whole psalm because how short it is and remind us of a few things we learned. But our focus is going to be on that. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That word thou, obviously David is the sheep here. He's imagining or picturing himself as a sheep. And he's looking to the shepherd. He's speaking to the shepherd. And he says in verse number 1, the Lord, he's bragging, he's confidence. And this is where our confidence is found in. The Lord is my shepherd. Nobody else's. It's God that's my shepherd. I shall not want. And, you know, we think about that word, who the Lord is, and how it's personal, my, but what the shepherd represents. Who better to speak about this than David himself, who we knew was not only a shepherd, but a good shepherd, one that protected his sheep, one who was made sure his sheep was taken care of and had the provision that was needed. And then he says, I shall not want, is going to the spot and moment that, you know, if we allow the Lord to lead us and allow the Lord to guide us, we can be content in what he's given us. We spend so much time wanting things that God does not even desire for us to be a part of or to have, and we are always thirsting for something. I think I was reading in the Proverbs, it might even have been today, about how the eyes of man, they're just never satisfied. And it's something that we gotta remember what the Bible said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we looked at the making of a sheep to lie down, what that means and what is needed for him to lie down and rest, and how God desires us to have rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we talked about the importance of liquid and water, and talked about the difference between water that was good for the sheep versus water that was dangerous for the sheep. Verse number 3, he restoreth my soul, and that encourages me. I don't know about you, there's no one else that can restore our soul but the Lord, and we can go to him, and he can restore us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, another encouragement. We know he can lead us, and he's willing to lead us, and he's never going to lead us to the wrong spot. And then he goes, and he says, what is for? He says, for his namesake. And it's the sheep. He's always going to take care of us. His name is on us. We're called Christians, and that we are his children, and he is going to take care of us. And then that verse where it becomes even a little bit more personal, he seems as if he's speaking to other people. In verse number 4, he's giving his testimony, but he begins to talk to the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the most dangerous times, the scariest parts, I will fear no evil. And then he uses his word, for thou art with me. He's looking at him and says, I know that you're with me, and I know that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we showed what the rod represented, what the staff represented. And death is something we all will have to face, but it's how we face it is a question. And then we come to verse number 5. He does something that seems the impossible. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. And we're going to look at that for a little while. And I think thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We'll probably talk about that in Sunday school, maybe Sunday night, maybe next Wednesday night, depending on how the Lord leads, that those two phrases about how the Lord anoints his head and how his cup runneth over. Verse number 6, I think we're going to look at Sunday morning. Surely goodness and mercy. I mean, he's confident there. He's sure about that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He has confidence and faith in God. This is what this whole poem or whole psalm is about. It's the faith that he has. And he says, I know goodness and mercy is going to follow me. And then he says at the end, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great psalm. Something that is maybe some people call one of the greatest psalms ever written. Some greatest literary work ever written. And I think it's something that we can learn a lot from. So let's focus on verse number 5 tonight. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. Mine enemies, excuse me. Let's look at those couple words. First, the word thou. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about the shepherd. Thou. It gives us the idea of the preparation of the table. Tonight we only have 2 points, so it's not three like normal or four. 2 points. First thing is the preparation of the table. So he says, thou. He's speaking to the Lord, and he says, you're the one that does the preparation. It's not us. He's the one that provides. He's the one that takes. The sheep were not people, were not animals that were going to go find their own food. They were going to go to where the shepherd took them, and that's where they were going to find satisfaction. And we'll get there in a little while. Thou preparest, and he prepares something, and then it's a table. You think about it, when you're in the presence of enemies or when there's a war going on, when they get to eat, they're not usually sitting at a table. They're not usually sitting at a table and eating. They're grabbing something and they're scarfing it down. But that's not the picture they give here. They're saying that even in the midst of enemies and in the presence of enemies, that you can prepare a table to where I can take time and find the nourishment and refreshment that I need. Just as a sheep that could be possibly surrounded on the up on the hills and the mountains, maybe animals that are looking down, if the shepherd is there, that's something they still feel confident and they feel safe because the shepherd has taken them and prepared them and gave them a place where they can find nourishment. A table before me. And then you think about in the presence. The word presence means that the enemies are around them. We're in the presence of enemies. And the second, and then you keep on going, of mine. Now, if we thought it was a shepherd's enemies, that'd be one thing. And we think about our shepherd, the Lord, he has enemies, didn't he? He had people who hated him. He had people who hung him on a tree, people who crucified him, people who hated him even afterwards. But the sheep is saying, you've done this in the presence of mine enemies. Things I should be afraid of, the things I should be worried about. Those are the things that you have prepared this table in the presence of. So just two simple points. First of all, it's the preparation of the table. Secondly, the presence of mine enemies. And he said, well, what type of enemies does a sheep have? And there's more than what you would think about what can damage a sheep. Obviously, we know of animals. We remember hearing David's story about when he was talking to Saul, the bear came and the lion came. Those were things that people would say, okay, that's one of the dangerous things. But there's more to it than that. There are certain plants and certain grass that could grow up that could kill the sheep or harm the sheep. There's also, as we mentioned, the sheep is not intelligent enough to say, hey, look, that piece of grass there is something that's bad for me. Some of us would know what poison ivy would look like, and we would stay away from it. Some of us might know some type of poisonous plant, and they say, well, we're not going to eat that. The sheep are going to eat what's placed before them, and they would not know. And so what the shepherd's job was is to go, and sometimes, and in my reading, my research, that they would have to go out in springtime, and they would have to pick out the poisonous plants, the poisonous areas. They would go, and many times as they would take their sheep and they would travel ahead of time, they would have to look at the fields and see what dangerous things are and block them off, because feasting on the wrong things can bring sickness, it can bring disease, it can even bring death. And so I think it's important that we understand that we have more than just one enemy out there. It's all under the context of the devil, but there's a lot of things that can hurt us. There's a lot of things that can damage us. There's a lot of things that can cause us problems. And one of the things that causes a sheep problem is feasting on the wrong things. And I think sometimes if we feast on the wrong things, we're never going to be ready to eat at the table that God's prepared for us. So, and not only does a sheep, is it dangerous for poisonous plants that can take away the lives of the little lambs, but also bad water can destroy their health and bring about death. As we mentioned before, they sometimes a cause of ruts, and sometimes the different things that would get into the ruts and the water that was there could be sickly and cause disease, making sure that you're drinking from the right well. And then also, obviously there's wild animals or creatures that can ravage them. So when they're talking about the enemies that a sheep has, they're a little bit different than our enemies, but they're just as dangerous and just as real. So for a few minutes, I'd like to look at, number one, the preparation of the table. It is not the sheep's responsibility to feed himself. He is brought to a certain place to graze, but it is the shepherd's responsibility to find the food or the grazing area for the sheep. That's interesting. So is it our responsibility or God's responsibility for us to find food? Now, obviously, God gives us opportunities and ways of providing ourselves food, but what does he tell us in the model prayer? He says that we're supposed to thank him that give us this day our daily bread, that we are completely and utterly dependent upon him on the intake that we have. And you say, Pastor, you know, I can grow this, or I made this, or I bought this. I understand that. But God is one that enables us to do those things. And how many of us know that the economy could have crashed? And how many of us knows that we could come down with a disease, or we could come down with a sickness, and know we cannot take care of ourselves? So what the Bible is saying here, as we compare here, just as the shepherd finds the food and takes the flock to that table, is the same way that the Lord provides our needs. Think about what it says in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is able to provide it, but not only is he able to provide the need, he can do more than we ever thought. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So when we think about this, he's saying that he's going to supply our needs. He's going to put that table out there, even in the midst of the enemies, even in the midst, he's going to do the impossible. And not only is he going to do that, he's going to do more than we ever thought or ever expected. Why don't we take our Bibles to Psalms chapter 78? In Psalms chapter 78, there's an interesting phrase, and we might read it for a little while here, that talks about a table in the wilderness. Just as crazy as it seems that someone would stop in the presence of their enemies and be able to sit down and enjoy a meal at a table, it's the same type of thing that God did for the nation of Israel in Psalm 78, as it's recording what happened back in the wilderness, that God provided a table in the wilderness. In Psalm chapter 78, there is a passage of scripture that talks about how the nation of Israel came up against God and asked the question. Look what it says in verse number 18. Psalm 78, verse 18. And you see where it says, And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So there's a question there that many times I've even spoke the message, preached a message, can God, and I also preached a message, what God won't do or will God. And you look at this and you see where it says, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see the difference between two different people. Over here you see David, who realizes, I believe, towards the end of his life, how much God has taken care of him and how much God has provided for him. We think some of David's enemies, Saul was out there chasing after him, and David can still stop and be able to get the nourishment he needs. And you see that Saul, he had the enemy of Goliath, and the enemy of that man that was causing him a hard time and throwing rocks at him, and the enemy of Absalom, and he had so many enemies over the years, but God still provided him, and he's saying, I'm looking back at the end of my life, and that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You can prepare everything I need for me in the presence of my enemies. Here, you see the nation of Israel that's asking a question saying, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Is God able? You see one that's living by faith. You see one that has confidence that's going to say, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. You're going to see one that says, I fear no evil. You're going to see one that says, he makes me lay down in green pastures. He takes me beside the still waters. You see one who's going to say, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Then you have another one who was known famously for murmuring and complaining and doubting God. The question is, are we going to believe that he's providing for us a table in the presence of our enemies? Are we going to believe and trust in that? Are we going to say, hey, I know what God can do, and I know that God can take care of me in the midst and in the presence, even though everybody else in the world, even though somebody else in my home might not understand, even though someone in my church might not understand, my school, whatever it is, I know that God can do this because he has. But over here, they're wondering and they're complaining and they're saying, is God able? And so the question is, what do we believe? I mean, there's so many amazing promises in this book. There's so many amazing promises in just this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do I believe that? I'm in his presence. Do I believe that? Do I care that? Because if I believe and care for that, then even in the presence of danger, I'm not going to fear evil. Even in the presence of enemies, I know God can still provide. But in this psalm over here, it's saying, can God do it? The answer is yes, but they haven't figured it out. But let's look here a little bit in Psalm 78. We're just going to read through it kind of quickly and just give you a little commentary. But it shows you the difference where most of us live at today. We want to be living in the Psalms 23, and we're knowing that goodness and mercy is following me. I am confident when I live for God and God is my shepherd, mercy and goodness is going to follow me. And it's coming because he's promised that, and he's going to provide for me. I don't have to fear. There is confidence there. But here you see how they, you notice what it says in verse number 18. What does it say? They tempted God. They weren't pleasing God. They were tempting God. In their heart, and you say, Pastor, I would never say anything like that out loud. God sees our heart, and they were tempting him in their heart. And he says, tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They weren't asking meat because they're worried about not getting enough protein. Sometimes when people go on a diet, make sure you get enough protein. That wasn't their interest at all. They were lusting after it. They were desiring something that God was not giving them. They were not, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They were, God can call himself my shepherd, but I want him to give me what I want to have. And keep on going. Yea, they spake against God. You think about that. They were speaking against God by questioning him in his heart. And then he goes as far as says, can God do something? They have just seen the Red Sea parted. They had just seen the Mount Sinai experience, the 10 plagues. Let's keep on going. It says, behold, can he do this? And behold, they begin talking a little bit about the different things God did. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Christian, when we don't believe that God's preparing a table and in the presence of our enemies, that God can take care of us in the presence of his enemies, we are questioning God. We're not believing and we're not trusting in God's plan and God's path for our life. Then he says, though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat, it's so good to remember the things that God's done for us. This, what they're saying here is like he opened up the windows of heaven, he rained down manna, and they had forgotten it and given them the corn of heaven. Look, man did eat angels' food. I love that. And he did eat angels' food, but they still did not believe and trust in him. How much are we saying that God, is God able to put that table in the presence of our enemies? Can he really provide when enemies are all around us? And the answer is yes. He can provide, and he can, and look what he did here for them. And it says, he rained down upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angel food. He sent them the meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. Look at the power of God. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. Sometimes I think it's a great prayer to say, God, not my will, but thine, because our own desires can be dangerous. They were estranged from their lusts, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. They still wouldn't believe. You just got to shake your head at that. But sometimes I wonder how God's perspective is, or what the people in heaven's perspective is when they look at our lives and we don't believe. Let's keep on going. Verse 33. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their hearts was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. It seemed like they're trying to get right, but they're not willing to go all the way. But he, being full of compassion, aren't you thankful for that? God that is full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Now look, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. In that last phrase, limited the Holy One of Israel. And where did it come? It came from verse number 19. They were asking this question, can God do this? They seen God do a whole big bunch before in the past. They were living a life wondering, is God able to take care of us during this hard time? We're out in the wilderness. I have desires. I have wants. I want flesh instead of this manna. But God provides through the rock. God provides through the manna. God says he opened up the windows of heaven and gave man's angels food. I mean, they did thing after thing. And David, later on in his life, no, David wasn't perfect. Yes, David went after things he shouldn't have and wasn't supposed to. But David is saying the psalm and what we're trying to learn and what I'm hoping you're getting tonight is, hey, in the presence of our enemies, despite what's going on in our life, God can and will take care of us. God can provide that table in the wilderness. God can provide that table in the presence of our enemies. The needs are very great. I understand that. But it says that they limited God. I wonder how often if we would just do what God told us to do, and he told us if my people which are called by my name, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, if we will just seek after him. And, you know, he talks about how we can hear from heaven. The needs are very, very great today, but our God is greater. He's able to provide that table in the wilderness. He is able to put that table in the presence of our enemies. And he says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And we need to have faith to believe that God will provide all that we need. And we know that God can prepare a table for us even in the presence of our enemies. Romans chapter 8 puts it this way, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to their purpose. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, then you know that even though the enemies are there and even though the hardship and the hard times are coming, God's still providing for us because he can take it and he can make it work together for good. For whom he did know, foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we he not with him also freely give us all things? And so I wanted you to see that faith is what impresses God. And Psalm chapter 78, they said they limited the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm chapter 78, they said they tempted God and they asked the question and they did not believe or trust. But what you see in Psalm chapter 23 is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. And he's come to the spot and he's saying that even though there's enemies all around us, a good shepherd can still provide a good field and a good meal for his sheep that he cares for, even if there's dangers around. Because he'll go and he'll take out all the poisonous weeds. He'll go and make sure that the water is clean and it's something that's safe for them to drink. And he will also protect against the enemies. Even though there's many enemies around us, he can provide that table before me. We do not have to worry, we do not have to fret, we do not have to be anxious, and he even tells us not to be careful for anything because he can provide for us in dangerous times. So the next thing I want you to see not only is the preparation of the table, it's God that prepares it. He's the one that supplies all that we need, and then he also does abundantly above all that we ask or think. The next thing I want you to think about for just a few moments is the presence of the enemies. The presence of the enemies. And we mentioned this already, David had some enemies. We could go around the room and say, what were some of David's enemies? What is something that David had to face and some of David's challenges? And there was things that he had to face outwardly with the lion and the bear, outwardly with Goliath, outwardly with Saul, outwardly with Absalom. But there's things he had to face inwardly too. The enemies that his flesh brought upon him, the enemies that his desires and his lusts brought. Not only did David have enemies, Christ had enemies. As in John chapter 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world have hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I didn't look it up, but I know there was a spot in the Bible where Christ was talking about how they were going to hate them just because they hated him. and they're going to hate the master, they're also going to hate the servant. And he's saying here, he's saying that they're not of the world. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God leaves us in the presence of our enemies. God asks us to serve in the presence of our enemies. God left the disciples with a group of angry religious leaders. He left them in the midst of a nation and a world that was going to hate them and persecute them, even as we saw in the Roman government and saw throughout the early ages. Even now today, there's people who lose their lives just for being a Christian, just for the cause of Christ. We have enemies that are all around us. There are people who hated him. There are people who are going to hate us also when we live for him. And why is that? He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The world hates them. Why is that? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And you think about that, and drive that into my heart. I'm not of this world. I should not leave like this. I should not live like this world is my final home. I should not be grabbing a hold of things of this world so much. There is a God that I serve, and heaven is my home. I'm a citizen of a different country, and I need to act like that and remember that there are going to be people in this world who do not like me, and people in this world who might hate me, people in the world who's not going to understand why I do what I do, and I need to learn to accept that and live for him and not for my enemies. It's important to get this, that God says, even in the midst of our enemies, he's going to be able to provide for us. So you think about it a little bit. You think about the dangerous things that people went through. You think about Moses going up against Pharaoh. How much easier it would have been if God would have just moved Pharaoh off the scene. It didn't work that way. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before King Nebuchadnezzar. Why didn't he get zapped Nebuchadnezzar just like that before the fiery furnace? We know later on Nebuchadnezzar gets right with God. How many of you think that it would have been so much easier if God would have just plunked Goliath off the scene many days earlier so he would have never mocked him? That's not the way that God works. God gets glory when there's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that's willing to stand in the face of their enemy and say that we're not careful to answer thee according to this matter. He gets glory when he says, you know what? The God I serve is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to serve you. I believe that God's going to take care of me in the presence of my enemies. I don't have to run somewhere else. I don't have to hide somewhere else. God's able. Moses didn't have to run and hide from Pharaoh. God used Moses to teach Pharaoh and the whole nation of Egypt a lesson, but also to teach the whole world a lesson, because Rahab heard what happened in Egypt. He was showing and demonstrating to the entire world that there was a God in Israel that could do all things. And they got glory for that. If they had just gotten rid of Egypt, if they had just gotten rid of Pharaoh, none of that would ever happen. And you think story after story, Daniel in the lion's den, they're going to cast him in the lion's den. Wouldn't it have been easier just to get rid of those bad people that were trying to kill Daniel and get rid of Daniel? But God doesn't work that way. He wants us to understand that he might not take us out of the fire. He might not get rid of his pharaohs. He might not get rid of the lions, but he'll go through that with you. He can provide for you right there where you're at. And that's what David is saying. Thou preparest a table before me. You have prepared me in the presence of my enemies. And where do we go back? Do we trust him like we should? Psalm 78, they tempted God. They limited God because they asked these questions. Can he provide in the wilderness? They didn't trust his salvation. They didn't trust in his power. Even though the waters gushed out of the rock, even though the food came down from heaven, here it is. He can provide for you here. You don't have to go providing for yourself. You don't have to figure out your own. All you have to do is be that sheep and let God lead you through that canyon. Let God lead you through that hardship and lead you through that guidance, guiding you through, and say, you know what? I don't need anything else, but I need the Lord. I need his leadership. I need his guidance. I want to follow after him. I want to follow after his word. I don't want to listen to man's wisdom. I don't want to listen to man's thoughts. I want God, and I want him to be it in my life. I think one day when we get to heaven, I think we might have the opportunity, and of course, I don't think anybody knows exactly what heaven's going to be like, but I think we're going to be able to see the many things that we missed, the many opportunities we could have had, how many times he had everything taken care of and everything figured out for us, and he was just saying, I want you to be faithful. All I want you to do is just allow me to be your shepherd. to be content with where I have brought you, to be content and to get the rest that you need, to allow me to bring you beside those still waters, to allow me to restore your soul, to allow me to lead you in the path of righteousness, and to remember that my name is on you. And as you're the one that you can blame me, I'm trusting in the Lord in this, and I don't know what else to say, but I'm following his leadership. I'm not leaning toward man's wisdom. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I am nothing more than a sheep following the shepherd. And even though I'm walking through some of the darkest moments and darkest times of my life, I do not have to fear evil because he's with me. He's given me his word. He's given me his Holy Spirit. And I can be faithful as I follow through this. And even while I'm going through this step by step, I have enemies that are around me. I have enemies saying this and enemies saying that and people trying to hurt me. I can have God take care of me right there in the presence of my enemies. Who can do that? God can. And just as real as David had with these fights and these enemies, just as much as he was an enemy of the lion and the bear who was trying to attack his sheep, his enemy was just as real with the devil. And even though we don't face maybe lions and bears in our lives, we do have true enemies out there that are trying to harm us. And we need to make sure that we understand that it's not us figuring it out, but we need revival in our hearts and revival in our lives. And when revival comes, God will give us what we need to continue on. And not just continue on. And I know we're not going to get into it right now, but the next phrase. He doesn't just give him the nourishment he needs. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I don't know about you, but my cup running over means that I not only do I have what I need, I have more than I need. And that's what we need to examine and desire in our Christian lives. We don't want just enough to make it through. Our joy should be something that runs over. Our meeting time with the Lord should be something that revives our heart and restores our heart. And even though times are tough and even though times are hard, we got to remember that in the presence of our enemies, God can provide that. God can provide it. Remember, ye are God's little children and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I was reading, obviously you do research and stuff, and I was reading, one pastor put it this way. Imagine two little lambs there, and there's a little lamb that's talking to the other lamb. And he kind of puts the whole scenario that David's a lamb talking to other lambs. The Lord is my shepherd. He's speaking as obviously a believer in God to other believers in God. But he's saying there's a little lamb there that says to another lamb, hey, look, there's a lion up there. And if he's looking at the lion, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be afraid. He's going to be frightened. He's not going to eat. He's not going to get the nourishment he needs. And what the other lamb, the wiser lamb, says, don't worry about the lion that might be up there. Keep your eye on the shepherd. Because on the shepherd, he's going to take care of us. And in the next paragraph, the next story, the little lamb is there, and he's looking at the grass, and he looks to the other lamb. He says, I don't know if we should eat this or not. And the wiser lamb will look at them and says, the shepherd would have never brought us here if he didn't want us to eat this, if he did not want us to partake of this. You can trust the shepherd. And there was a couple different things. He kept on going through that and talked about water and other things like that. And if we look at it and say, if we keep our eye on the shepherd, if we keep our eye on the one who's leading us, we keep our eye on the one who's guiding us, then we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, is there a time in your life where you can say, I believe and I trust? Is there faith? Because David is saying here, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies, because he's saying, I've seen God in the toughest and hardest times in my life provide for me. And we get a picture of some of that, how he could rest in God and God's plan. He didn't kill Saul. He cut off the skirt of Saul. He didn't kill Saul. He took the javelin of Saul. He had opportunities, but he was resting in the shepherd. He was allowing the shepherd to lead him and allowing the shepherd to guide him so God would get the glory in all of it. And your lives tonight, can you see God providing for you in the presence of your enemies? Stay close to him. Lean on him. If we could take care of our lives, then we would be able to handle it ourselves. But God wants us to trust in him. God wants us to see us as sheep needing a shepherd. He could have called us bears because we're so powerful. He called us lions, his believers, his children, lions because we're courageous. He could have called us any type of animals, but he called us sheep because we have a dependence upon a shepherd. and we need to learn to stay close to him. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, I know we mentioned some of the verses. He says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How many of us believe that God's able to prepare that table in the wilderness? How many of us believe that? Now, how many of us are willing to sit at it? We might say, oh, God can, but will he? If he's brought you there, he will. He's never going to take you to a place where he cannot provide and take care of you. He has brought you to a spot in life for such a time as this, and he's saying, I'm going to take care of you right where you're at as long as you learn to follow after me. I think it's a great thought. You're out there and you're in battle and you're in war. Could you imagine what it would be like if you got those guys on this side that's shooting and fighting, and you got this group over here that stops, it's dinner time, and goes and sits at the table? And you'll be like, that's craziness. Who in the world would do that? That's what David's saying, that even though all the action and all the turmoil and all the trials that is happening out here, we can go to God's table and we can get the nourishment that we need. Day by day, we can open up his word and we can intake it and we can inhale it. We can pray. We can stay close to him and we can draw nigh to him and he draw nigh to you. And he can give us the refreshment and the restoring of the soul that we need so we can walk out onto the battlefield, and God will allow us to live a life that will bring glory to him. Tonight, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's all types of dangers that are around us. And I thought about the enemies that we have. We have those that who do not like us, that are evil and wicked, that are trying to destroy the cause of Christ. We have those that are believers that may be carnal, that are trying to harm the cause of Christ, and they're doing it in their own time and their own way. We have the devil out there that is trying to bring everything into our lives, to tempt us and to try us and to cause us to fall into sin and cause us to do wicked things. We have dangers all around us, every corner. But he said, in the presence of thine enemies, and he says, mine enemies. For a little while there, I was thinking, you know, the Lord has enemies, but these are our enemies. But he's the one that can protect us. Tonight, are you feasting at the table that God has prepared for you? And it's in the midst of your enemies. You can eat and receive nourishment in the presence of your enemies. Tonight, do you have faith to sit at the table and relax in him and say, God, in the presence of my enemies, I'm going to allow you to take care of me and nourish me. And you saw all throughout the Bible, God took care of Moses, took care of Joseph, he took care of Abraham, and he took care of his disciples. He took care of so many people. Right in the presence of their enemies. Could not imagine how that was going to happen. But God did it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.